We continue our series under the title of today's message is Sincere Love. And the Bible texts we're going to be looking at are two. The first one is 1 Peter chapter 1 from verses 22 to 25. And the second one is 1 Peter chapter 2 from verses 1 to 3. And I read, "You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness." Isaiah 59 from verses 1 to 2 says, "Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore." You see, the effect of sin is very, very big, it's huge. Sin causes a separation between us and God, like we've just read from, you know, Isaiah 59. And it leaves us as slaves to sin rather than sons of the living God, sons who are free. And, you know, wherever you see sin in the scripture, it's associated with, you know, quite a number of things, associated with shame, with reproach, with defeat, lawlessness, slavery, death. You know, all manners of negative things are associated with sin. And what is sin? You know, James 4:17 kinds of, you know, he puts it very right for us. He says, "Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it." If you have not given your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to do so, because it's a determinant of where and how you're going to spend your eternity. And eternity, you know, is just around the corner. Scripture says God sent his son Jesus into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And the world is you and I. So God sent him not to judge the world, but to save the world. And John 3 verses 18 to 19 says, "There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him." That is in Jesus. "But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil." You see, Jesus' death on the cross paid the full penalty for our sins. We've been talking about sin so we can understand the gravity. This is the crux of the matter. If we can get this out of the way, then, you know, we're in for a good time. Jesus' death on the cross paid the full penalty for our sins. This is what caused the separation between us and God, sin. And then God sends Jesus into the world, you know, to pay the full penalty for our sins so that we can be reconciled back to him. But again, the scripture says in 1 John 1, 8 to 9, for people who, you know, and they say, "Well, I don't think I'm a sinner." Let's hear what God says. In 1 John 1, 8 to 9, the Bible says, "If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves, and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. You see, once we confess our sins to God, we are forgiven. Once we acknowledge it and we confess it genuinely and we put our trust in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Then we have the right to come boldly into God's presence through the cleansing power in the blood of Jesus. For those who haven't, you know, given their hearts to Jesus, that's the process. You must first of all acknowledge that you're a sinner, then confess your sins, you know, to God. Genuine repentance, you know, turning away from those sins and asking Jesus to come and be your Lord and Savior. And as you do that, the Bible says that you become adopted into God's family. You become a son and a daughter of the living God. And God sends his Holy Spirit into your heart to begin to help you to live the life that he wants you to live. You see, I want to touch a little bit about what happens when our sins are forgiven. You see, Psalm 32 verses 1 to 2 says something. It says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty." You see that something keeps coming up here. Joy, joy, joy. Meanwhile, when we were separated from God, when we were sinners, we weren't experiencing joy. And that's why, you know, I look at my life, I look at, you know, the kind of life I lived then, and I see why we were doing certain things. It was this joy that we were looking for. And for people who have not given their hearts to Jesus, this is what they're doing. This is the missing link. And the only way that you can get true joy is through Jesus. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And incidentally, joy and peace, they hang out together because they're from the same source. Jesus is equally the Prince of Peace. So you can see that we experience joy when our relationship is restored with God. You see, this work of transformation from a people who were separated from God, which was what we were before when we were sinners, to a people who are in a joyful fellowship with the Lord is based on our faith in the Word of God. We had the message, someone preached the good news to us at some point, and if you haven't had the message, you're hearing this morning. You know, but for those of us who have made this move or who've made this decision to follow Jesus, you know, all the way, somebody preached a message or you had a message somewhere and you believed that message. You see, faith is so important in our walk with God as it helps us to stand for him. Faith is so important, and it's a walk of faith, you know, this transformation from being sinners to being children of God in a relationship with Jesus, in fellowship with him. It's a work of faith. We hear the word of God, we believe it, we act on it, and then the transformation takes place. And I remember that a few weeks ago, if I'm correct, we looked at biblical characters, you know, men and women of faith, you know, who, you know, stood, you know, for God in, you know, diverse circumstances, you know, but, you know, they stood for God. So faith helps us to stand for God. However, you see, standing for God is not enough. You know, faith puts us in that place where we can stand and we can say, this is what we believe in. But standing for God is not enough. We need to be sure that we are standing firm. That is the key thing. We need to be sure that we are standing firm. And that is why 2 Peter 1 from verses 5 to 7 says, supplement your faith. So Yes, faith, it's the beginning, and you will always need faith, it's through our journey here, you would always need to exercise faith in Jesus. But it says, supplement your faith. Some other version says, add to your faith. But this one says, supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. So you can see that the work starts with faith, but you're supposed to, or we are supposed to, continue to add to it. And it ends by saying love for everyone, brotherly affection, and then love for everyone. And verse 10, beg your pardon, says, do these things and you will never fall away. In other words, do these things and you will stand firm. We're encouraged to show sincere love to each other and love each other deeply. Now we've been cleansed from our sins. Now we're encouraged now that we have to show sincere love to each other and love each other deeply. Why? Because Jesus says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The second, or a second, as it says here, is equally important. So it's as important as the first. So you can't do the first and leave the second. And there's no way that you can do the second and leave the first. The second is equally important. And 1 John 4, verses 20 to 21 says, if someone says, I love God, like we all say, like we all, profess, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Interesting. So you love God that you cannot see, and the one that you can see, your brother and your sister, we don't love. God says, no, that's a lie. You don't love me. In other words, one of the ways God measures our love for him is how we love our brothers and sisters. It's not so much as in, how we, but one of the measurements that God uses to check whether we really love him is how we treat our brothers and sisters, how we show love to them. This is an eye-opener. You see, it does not matter how much we proclaim we love God. What the scripture is saying, that if you don't love your brother and sister deeply, from the heart, not, the one that we say with our mouth, deep from the heart, if we don't, then it's all fake. It's all a lie. And do you know, have you thought about it, that the majority of what we do that constitutes a sin is done to our brothers and sisters, not necessarily to God? I don't know of any Christian that will, curse God. Majorly is to one another. So we must work hard. You see how God has helped us, cleansed us from our sin. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from our sins. No more guilt. We are forgiven. The sins are fully paid for. He's empowered us with his Holy Spirit. But God is asking now that we have to now continue to follow him and obey him. And we must work hard to prove that we are really among those that God has called and chosen by getting rid of the evil behavior that we read. Because these things don't promote sincere love. God has done his part. God continues to do his part. But God expects us to take responsibility. And if we really, really say that we love him, then we must love one another. So how can we achieve this? The Bible says that we must crave pure spiritual milk, which is the word of God. Because that is the comfort. We are born again based on the word of God. We must crave it. Our appetite for the word of God must continue to increase. It's like a baby who's been born and is not taking milk from the mother. There must be something wrong, because naturally babies would crave milk. I know this is spiritual. This is not, the physical milk, but we can liken it to that. And we are babes before God. So if we are not craving the word of God, then it just means that there's something not quite right. And it just means that we're not going to grow the way God expects us to grow. The word of God is very clear. You must crave the word of God. It's a signal that we want to grow. We must also pray the Holy Spirit to pour the love of God into our hearts, so that we can love God and also love others. Because if we don't love God, we can't love other people. It is the help of the Holy Spirit pouring out the love of God into our hearts that helps us. Because as human beings, let's be sincere, we're complex people. But you see, when the love of God is in our hearts, then we're able to face any challenges. We're able to overcome. We're able to forgive people. Why? Because of that love of God in our hearts. There's nothing too much to give up for Jesus in the real context of it. If we're truly in a relationship with him, there's nothing. Because when you look at what he has done for you and what he has done for me, there's nothing that is too much. But we must ask the Holy Spirit that he should pour the love of God into our hearts afresh, so that we can love God more, and then we can also love our brothers and sisters. But you see, it's not enough to crave, the word of God, to want to hear it, to want to read. It's excellent. That's the first step. But we must also make up our minds to obey. Because the blessings are in the doing. The hearing is important, but it's not as important as the doing. God wants us to obey his word. And lastly, we must fear the Lord. We must fear the Lord. And Psalm 34, captures this very well for us. Psalm 34, verses 9 and then 11 to 14. And this is just the summary of all that we've been talking about. It says, fear the Lord. That's from verse 9 now, and then verses 11 to 14. So verse 9 and then verses 11 to 14. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Those who fear him will have all they need. And it says, come my children and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and walk to maintain it. Does that sound familiar to us? Keep your tongue from speaking evil. Evil to who? To God? I don't think so. Keep your tongue from speaking evil to one another. That's why we're told here that we should get rid of some certain things. Do you want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Bible says, fear the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? I would have thought the fear of the Lord would be reverencing God. Oh yes, reverence God and holiness. Yes, it's part of it. But look at the key thing that we're asked to do. This is the fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Do good to who? Do good to your neighbor. Do good to your brother. Do good to your sister. Because as you are doing that, it's been recorded in heaven. Then he says, search for peace and work to maintain it. Search for peace and work to maintain it. God bless you.